Okay, so Hare Krishna, everyone. Hare Krishna. Okay, so we're going to be discussing Upadeshamrita, verse number 7. Okay. Technical situation. I was actually wondering, and I'd like your advice, Maharaj, if it's okay, whether we should take any questions briefly from the previous session and then carry on, or... Yeah? Yeah? Okay, so maybe... Okay. So what we'll do is we'll actually just do the verse, and then we'll leave some time for questions at the end, like that, so we can come forward. Okay. So I think we have the verse on the board. So this is text number 7 of Upadeshamrita. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Okay. Okay, no problem. Okay. Okay, so the verse is on the board. Text number 7 of Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. So we'll chant the verse together, and then we'll take it from there in terms of our discussion. Okay. So, please repeat after me. Sat Krishna Nama Charita Distita Pyavidya. Pito patapta rasananyas. Pito patapta rasanasya na rochita nu.
Pito patapta rasanasya na rochita nu.
Kinvada radanudinam kalu seva justa. Swad vikramad bhavatitad gada mulahantri. Okay, so the translation by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Please repeat after me. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Okay, just very quickly say Mangala Chand and begin. Omegyana Timiranda Syaginanjana Shilakaya. Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So again, begging for the blessings of Chandramuli Maharaj and the Vaishnavas so we can speak something on this wonderful verse. So this is interesting. Here, Rupa Goswami is glorifying the holy names. He actually is glorifying the name, the character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna. He's explaining the status of everything that is related to Krishna, all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. And then he's also explaining that those in a diseased condition don't get or would not taste the real nature of Krishna consciousness. But then beyond that, he's explaining how one can reform the disease condition in order to fully taste, as they say, the nectar for which we are always anxious. So the first question that can come when someone looks at this, even if for a practicing devotee, is, well, if the holy name, if Krishna's name, character, pastimes, activities are naturally sweet, right, then when we practice, why don't we feel the sweetness? What is this specific point about the disease condition? A similar question can be asked about Krishna consciousness in general. If Krishna consciousness is so natural, why in many cases will it feel unnatural when people begin? How does that happen? So our situation is like someone who is drowning. Right? Has anyone ever been underwater and struggling? You ever had that experience? You know, for whatever reason, even if you're a good swimmer, something happens and you're underwater and you're struggling to come up for air. So imagine that someone is drowning. They're actually drowning. They're underwater. They're struggling to come up for air. They're submerged. Someone pulls them out of the water and puts them on land. How will their breathing be initially? Someone is drowning and you've just pulled them out of the water. How is their breathing initially? Sorry? Heavy, yep. Unnatural, right? But we know at the same time that breathing is natural, isn't it? Every single person in this room is breathing, right? What that means is when you take someone out of an unnatural position, the natural thing first feels artificial. When the individual returns back to their normal condition, then the natural thing actually feels natural. Does that make sense? So in Krishna consciousness, we've just been pulled out of the material world, in a sense. At least we've been thrown the rope. Huh? We've been drowning in this ocean of material existence. Prabhupada has come, as he is explaining this purport, he's sending people all around this world. The Sankirtan mission is to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls. Prabhupada is predicted as the mantra upasaka. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing, in a literature called the Sajjana Tushanti, he predicts that there will be this person who will come, the mantra upasaka, the commander-in-chief of Lord Chaitanya's own army, who will come like a bounty hunter around the world and reclaim souls on behalf of Krishna. So when we're first pulled out of this gross material situation, the natural thing will feel unnatural. But that's is explaining here, by taking the natural thing in the appropriate way. Interesting, the specific word is used. Simply, see, look, just notice the wording is used. Simply by carefully chanting. Right? It's simple, and at the same time, it's got to be done a specific way. Simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Now bear in mind here this term, destroyed at the root. Because when we looked at the first verse, when Prabhupada was speaking about prayaschitta, atonement, he mentioned how the weakness is the root issue isn't addressed. Now the contrast is in this verse, it says specifically the issue is addressed at the root. So the contrast is between the material activities which are superficial and don't deal with the ultimate issue. Then the spiritual activities which actually go in at the very deepest level to reawaken the natural constitutional position of the living entity. Everything unnatural is an enemy. So we are suffering because we are in this unnatural disease condition. Dis-ease. What is a disease? This world is kunta. Anxiety. the place of anxiety, and our home is Vaikuntha, the place which is eternally free of anxiety. So when you put someone in a situation that is completely unnatural for them, they're going to be disturbed. And that is actually our position. At the same time, we know that this holy name is auspicious. Why? Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. This holy name is actually coming directly from the spiritual world, from the spiritual platform. There's a devotee I know in London, and he was doing Sankirtan, and he was distributing books. He gave a book to one young man, one young English man. And because the English man was interested and they were conversing, so he told him more, he said, you should try this chanting. Try this mantra and just see what you find. And so one morning I was going to the manor, a temple in London, and I saw that book distributor, a friend of mine. He showed me a text, right? Because he'd kept in touch with this young man who he'd given the book to and who he'd given the Maha Mantra to. This young man had written to him, I think a day or two after he'd given him the mantra. And he said to him, he said, I'm chanting this mantra that you've given me. He said, when I'm chanting this mantra, sometimes I'm laughing and sometimes I'm crying. He said, what is this mantra that you've given me? Yeah? Serious. That's, a devotee told me that directly. He'd given the mantra a few days later, that person, the new person, just started to try the chanting. Sometimes I'm crying, sometimes I'm laughing. What is this mantra that you've given me? What is happening to me? This is the Maha Mantra. Maha Mantra. The great mantra for deliverance in this particular age, the Prabhupada says. And because the name is non-different than the actual Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, therefore, this mantra is our association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we say Nam Ras. There's a relationship that one has with the name. Srinam, Harinam Prabhu. That name is alive. Krishna has come in this age, Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. He's incarnated, he's present exactly in the form of his holy name. That holy name is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And by chanting it, we're going to change. It's interesting. If you are in an insane asylum, right, with other people who are insane, they may think there's something wrong with you. Right? A sane individual in an insane asylum full of crazy people, they'll turn around and they'll even think that you're crazy. So when you have a society which en masse is in a disease condition, the disease is what this material conditioning, and this ahankara, ahankara vimudatma kata hamiti manyate. We think we're the doer, we think we're this mind, we're this body. And therefore, everyone in the material world struggles so much. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mana shishtani indriyani prakriti shtani kashati. We're kashati. We're struggling with mana shishtani indriyani. Mana means the mind, shishtani means six, indriyani means the senses. The body, the mind, the senses, we're struggling. So, you put a sane individual in an insane asylum, and the people in the asylum will think that this sane individual is crazy. They'll think they're okay, and the person who is actually sane, they'll think that person is crazy. So, it's actually very interesting. Srila Prabhupada comes, and he sees the condition of the living entities here, and he wants to restore them to their normal condition. And this process is the process by which we become sane again. There's a story of a king who had a huge kingdom. And the king, near his castle, within his castle, he had his own private spring of water, his own private well. But the villagers in the kingdom, they would use the village wells. One day the village wells became contaminated. So anyone who would drink from the village wells, they became crazy. They became insane. And so, after a while, all the villagers started to have questions about the king. But our king, he seems crazy. There's something wrong with this individual, like that. And the king was wondering what was happening to the villagers, because they seemed to be behaving differently. So one day the king came down from his castle and went around his lands to see the villagers. And at one point he became thirsty, so he drank from the village well. And that evening, all the villagers rejoiced that the king had regained his sanity. You understand the point? This is also linking what we discussed yesterday. Yeah. It came slowly. It was delayed, but we got there eventually. So, this is what we mean by being careful about association. It is an objective fact that to live your entire life just for material pursuits is objectively insane. It's not just a question of opinion. It is objectively insane, right? Even some of the most intelligent materialists have been existential philosophers. And many of them committed suicide when they examined the nature of this world. That it's crazy to spend your whole life striving to achieve something that you may not even get, and that will definitely leave you when you die. Right? So you're striving for something that you may not get, that you have to work very hard to achieve. People will be envious of you if you do get it, and you may not get any of it. So it's absurd in all this endeavor for something you may not get. And at the same time, it's absurd to just live, or it's absurd to die not knowing where you're going. Absurd to live, absurd to die. Some of them went crazy. Material existence is absurd. It is absurd. Even to the point that people get what they're looking for and they're still miserable. And they're often the most envious people. Because they strived for it, they didn't get it, or they got it. It was exactly the opposite of what they were looking for. It was more trouble than the entire endeavor. And they're frustrated and upset that they wasted their entire life going for these things. There was one famous Hollywood star. He said that he wishes that every single person in the world could have worldwide fame and millions of dollars in wealth, just so that they could understand that it's not what they're looking for. Isn't that interesting? Yeah? Just so they could understand that it's not what they're looking for. So this is our disease. The disease is so deep that the disease is our illusion about everything. The illusion is about everything, including ourselves. But this is also the solution. The Maha Mantra is a solution. Although the holy name is none different from Krishna, the holy name in another sense is even more merciful. Nam is more merciful than Nami. Because at any point in time, anyone, anywhere in the world, just by chanting that name Krishna, they can associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, that holy name can be given to others. So this is what the devotees do. What is a devotee? A devotee is someone who interferes in the material karma of others. The Harinam Sankirtan movement is an intervention in the material history of humanity. When someone chants the holy name, and when anyone hears, in fact, even just the fact that the holy name is chanted in any environment, it changes the karma of that environment. It changes the history of that particular society, that nation, the world. So it's an intervention. It is the most auspicious intervention in any individual or society's life. And the moment someone comes in touch with the holy name, that is the beginning of the end. It is the beginning of the end of their material existence. Now, however, even though that is the case, we then go further because we want to accelerate the beginning of the end. And when you want to accelerate the beginning of the end, that means you become a devotee. What do I mean? Many people in this world, through previous activities, they have accrued some what's called agyata sukriti. They have accrued some spiritual credit. When the spiritual credit builds up to a significant level, they get the association of Vaishnavas and they have the intelligence and the sense to consciously engage in this devotional process. There are practically millions of living entities on this planet right now who have the credit to become devotees, who have the spiritual mercy to be awakened to become members of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And Ajahn's devotees, it is a great mission, is to rack our brains to find different means and ends, different ways to bring people back to the healthy condition. Prabhupada gives the example. He says, and this is just contrasting spiritual or transcendental activities with mundane activities. He says, you meet some homeless person, right? They're struggling, they've got no food, no shelter, no money, they're diseased. What do you do for them? You can give them a few pennies. But if you look very carefully and you understand that that person, hold on, I've seen you before. Aren't you the son of the millionaire? That person is actually the son of a millionaire. So rather than, it is in one sense an insult to give that person a few coins. It's so superficial. If you can persuade that person to return home, everything is taken care of. Everything is taken care of. Now there's two levels of this. There is the point of taking someone from the gross external situation to persuade them return back home back to Krishna, engage in Krishna consciousness, everything is taken care of. Right? That's getting them in the door. But now that they're in the door, there's still a deeper level of refinement. Because we have to take it very deeply to the point that Maharaj said yesterday, that we give our entire life. Surrender is a function of faith. If you have deep faith in Krishna, the symptom of deep faith is deep surrender. The symptom, when your faith is so deep, when your trust is complete, that actually this person, if I give my life to him, everything will be taken care of. Then there is this deep surrender. But at the same time, Lord Chaitanya, Namo Mahava Nyaya Krishna Prempadayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gora Twishe Namaha. Because he's possessed of the mood of Radharani, his mood, the contrast between him and Lord Krishna, is that Krishna says, Sava Dharma Parichaya, you surrender first. Then we'll talk about love of God. Lord Chaitanya says, Rupa Goswami is glorifying Lord Chaitanya because he's giving everything. He's giving Krishna Prema Padayate, love of God, to everyone. Qualified, unqualified, makes no difference. In fact, in Kali Yuga, our qualification is our disqualification. The more we recognize our fallen condition, the more we will cry for Krishna. And when you cry for Krishna, Krishna is there. The wonderful point that Maharaj was making before with regarding Draupadi, when she still tried to hold her sari to stop herself being disrobed, she was calling to Krishna. But because she was still also trying to manage the situation herself, I think Maharaj said Krishna was playing chess with Rukmini. Is that correct? Like, he was playing chess with Rukmini. Rukmini realized, oh, Draupadi, your devotee is calling. A little bit of a technical, but Hare Krishna? I think we're okay. So Rukmini understood that Krishna, your devotee, is calling you. And Krishna said, let's play another game. But when Draupadi fully surrendered, the Lord fully protected, he fully gave shelter. In this purport, Prabhupada uses a very wonderful term. He says, Maya, he said, this world of Maya is called Durasraya, which means false or bad shelter. Our trouble is that due to ignorance, avidya, we're taking shelter of the wrong thing. There's some kind of game, and it's about one character, and the tagline in the game is, it says, looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's our situation in the material world. Looking for shelter, looking for the natural dormant love to be reciprocated with fully, but looking for it in a place which is a bad shelter. The material energy doesn't give you shelter. The material energy gives you trouble. And the material energy is trying to bring everyone ultimately to understand Jivara Srupaya Krishnara Nitya Das. When someone is introspective and they suffer, at some point they ask themselves the question, why am I suffering? Why am I suffering? Who am I? What is the purpose of life? Again, because this world is insane, people think that the whole purpose of life is just to be born, you know, go to school, get a job and die. I mean, think about that. Really. The conception that the entire cosmic manifestation is there so you could be born and get a job and die. I mean, it's absurd. Yeah, get a good job, yeah, like that, you know. After struggling very hard, yeah. And then die. And that's considered a successful life. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, and people don't even know how to die healthy now either. So it's objectively absurd. But you can see how strong Maya is, because there are millions of people on this planet who, even though it's objectively absurd, they will stand there and with conviction talk nonsense. This idea that you're the body is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The idea, the livingness if no one's going to die, is crazy. We're seeing people die all the time. And everyone is living, is acting as if they are going to live forever. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. If you tell people that actually, why don't we try to live a life where we will be eternally happy? They will look at you as if you're mad. It's completely the wrong way around. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, that which sees, nescience says, you know, that which confuses religion and irreligion, right? That type of knowledge. So it's actually a world view in the mode of ignorance. Steeped in the mode of ignorance. And the scary thing is that most people believe it. So we need to reinforce each other and associate with each other to remind ourselves not to become one of the crazy individuals of this world. And the material energy will test you. Yeah, that's the point. The material energy, she's a pure devotee. That means she's intelligent. Right? So she'll test you. But Maya has a boss. So the more that we take shelter of Krishna, the more we take shelter of Krishna's representatives, the more that we can be guaranteed to return back home, back to Godhead. And that is our purpose, to do that. Let's go through a few points in this verse. Okay. When a man in the material world takes more interest in the materialistic way of life rather than Krishna consciousness, he is considered to be in a diseased condition, Prabhupada writes. So that's the key point. We can understand to what degree we're becoming healthy or diseased, by the degree to which we're becoming more interested in Krishna, and the degree to which we're becoming disinterested in the material energy. It's one way that we can see, are we becoming more spiritually healthy, or are we becoming more spiritually diseased? More materially, sorry, diseased. Okay, so the Maya is the thing that makes us forget Krishna. And Prabhupada writes here that when we put faith in Maya, we become a candidate for hope against hope. Isn't that interesting? Because the material energy itself, see, faith means what? The term Shraddha, Shraddha, right? One of the translations of it is the place where the heart finds shelter. The place where the heart finds shelter. But the material energy itself doesn't give any shelter. Prabhupada explains that if you give up the eternal for the temporary, you lose both. If you give up the eternal for the temporary, you lose both. Why? The eternal is fully present, but you've let go of that. You're holding on to something which is temporary, but the fact that it's temporary means that you can't hold on to it for very long. It's going to leave you. So one who gives up the eternal for the temporary loses in all respects. So the faith in the material world means that the individual is trying to hold on to the temporary. And because in modern society, we don't even know how to deal with the material energy properly, it's not like previous times where people lived in a more sattvic lifestyle. It's even more lethal. These Western societies, or this worldview, which is in intense mode of passion, intense mode of ignorance, is even more lethal, more dangerous. So our job is to get out. Prabhupada says you want to raise the alarm. You get out and you raise the alarm to also get as many other individuals out as soon as possible. So every day is a day to cultivate our Krishna consciousness. Let's see. Prabhupada makes the point that this world is people are following, misled by these blind leaders. And Prabhupada talks about that. He mentions politicians, philosophers, and scientists, and he explains why they're blind. He says they're blind leaders because they are not Krishna conscious. This relates to what we were speaking about also. Being able to understand what the actual root cause of this material energy is. It is Krishna. Krishna, aham savasya prabhavo, mata savam pravatate, iti matva vajante imam, buddha bhava samamvata. Everything is emanating from one person. But there's more to it. He says, the wise who understand this, what do? They engage in my devotional service, Krishna says. Isn't that interesting? So if people actually understand what's going on, there's a symptom that they understand. Because actually, all of the material problems can only be solved ultimately by spiritual solutions. Even certain materialists have understood this. Einstein said that one cannot solve a problem in the same consciousness or mentality that got them into the problem in the first place. Isn't that interesting? So we're in this difficulty because we have a materialistic mentality. And what the materialists try and do is they try to so-called solve the problems by adding more of their same materialistic mentality that got them into trouble in the first place. So modern society has to ask itself a question at a certain point, right? How do you solve these issues? What do you want to do? Are you going to deal with the cause or simply keep trying to adjust the effect? All of these issues in the world, these are effects of an underlying materialistic worldview and the lack of Krishna consciousness. It's so real. Prabhupada was in America in 1976. I can't remember if it was Chicago or San Francisco. At that time, whichever state he was in was the slaughterhouse capital of America.
and the weather was bitterly cold. Prabhupada told the devotees, if you can get them to close down these slaughterhouses, immediately the weather will change. Immediately the weather will change. In Bhagavatam, in the pastime of, which king? Prithu Maharaj. Prabhupada explains that when there is a righteous situation, Mother Earth, Mother Nature actually gives resources. But where people are sinful, then actually the resources are restricted. So people think that there is your realistic person who's getting to grips with society and sorting problems out, and then you have your sentimental religious people who are just out of touch with what's going on. No. Actually, the people who are truly God conscious, they are making the greatest contribution to this society, to this world, that can be made. Because the root cause is actually spiritual. So when devotees perform their yajna, when this Harinam Sankirtan yajna is performed, by sacrifice everything is provided. So even the materialist gain by the propagation of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Isn't that amazing? Everyone gains when the devotees perform Sankirtan yajna. And without that yajna, everything goes down. And we see that in the material world now. Because of more and more materialism, everything goes down. So chanting is the ultimate solution. Harinama, Harinama, Harinameva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiyanyata. So it's explained that when something is stated three times like that in the Shastra, it is a categorical. There is no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. The realization, self-realization, attainment of full God consciousness can only be achieved by the chanting of the holy names in this particular age. Because we don't have the qualification of the previous ages to perform the different activities which were done previously to become self-realized. So what is Kali Yuga? In Kali Yuga, everything decreases. People's intelligence, lifespan, qualifications, all of these things go down. There's one thing that increases in Kali Yuga, that is the false ego. Isn't that amazing? Everything goes down except the ahankara. That goes up. So we want to really take this on board. Again, potent and powerful instructions from Srila Rupa Goswami, elaborated by His Divine Grace Srila A.C., Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. They know what it takes to go back. They're from that platform. And interestingly enough, even more than that, what we're trying to do as devotees is enlist under Kripa Siddha. We're trying to get the mercy of these pure devotees, and they will petition the Lord on the behalf of the devotee, and by their own intimate connection, we get so much more than we are qualified to receive. So that is, it's a great blessing. It's not just the teachings, but it's the teachings as is given by intimate associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because everything in Krishna consciousness is very sweet and very personal. We should want to perfect ourselves so we can really understand and see things for what they are. As is explained here, everything about Krishna is sweet like sugar candy. But we don't necessarily see that or experience that immediately. So Prabhupada explains that there are 10 offenses to the holy name, there are 3 stages to chanting. He explains that by being free of the 10 offenses, by avoiding the 10 offenses on the Nama Parad stage, we can get a glimpse of the next stage. We come up. That means that the chanting of the holy names of Krishna is a lifestyle. It's not just an activity, it's a lifestyle. Because by not criticizing devotees, you can have better access to the holy name. By not blaspheming the Vedic literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version, one can access the holy name. By not being inattentive while chanting, one can access the holy name. So all of these are different lifestyles, different lifestyle aspects that allow someone to actually come into deep contact, pure contact with the Holy Name. Harinam Chintamani by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that even if one chants a syllable, right, a syllable of a holy name, one gets benefit. Huh? Of course, if one chants the full Maha Mantra, the benefit is far greater. But even a syllable, even a materialistic person, you know, who just, you know, the child who calls out to their Ma, right? Ma. M-A. A part of the name Rama. That child gets some benefit. Because the holy names are so extensively compassionate. But there's a science to that chanting. In terms of focus, for example, it is explained that the ability to focus is a function of the intelligence. Isn't that interesting? There's a class that was given by His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. He explained like that. The ability to focus is a function of the intelligence. So when we strengthen our intelligence through discussions of Upadeshamrita and spiritual knowledge, one strengthens one's intelligence, one strengthens one's ability to focus. At the same time, it is also the case that when the mind becomes clean, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, when the mind becomes cleansed, then that purified mind is easier to focus also. So we want to do everything that we can to come closer to Krishna. And that means in this age, we want to do everything that we can to destroy the avidya, the ignorance, and come closer to the holy names. There are these three things. There's avidya, there's aparavidya, and paravidya. Avidya means nescience. Aparavidya means the scriptural knowledge about how the material energy works. And the paravidya is the scriptural knowledge, the supreme knowledge about one's relationship with Krishna and how to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. What counts as knowledge in the material world is actually simply avidya. And therefore, materialistic solutions often create problems. The strategies of materially minded people, honestly, they actually create more issues. Prabhupada, he explains like this in this particular place. Let's see what he says. Yes. He says, when materialistic people engage in materialistic activities, when it doesn't work by material pursuits, he says they replace one mistake with another. So actually, when someone is in ignorance, it's very dangerous. It's like you have a child. Your child is ill. Your child is seriously ill. So you rush your child to the hospital. And the doctor who meets you at the hospital, they look at your child and they say, don't worry, we're going to perform an operation on your child. So they start to operate on your child. And when they start the operation, they say, actually, by the way, just to help you to feel peaceful and to have faith, I want to point out to you that I've never done this before in my life. And I don't really know how to perform the operation either. I've never been trained. I don't know anything about medicine. But it's okay. Because, you know, it'll be okay. Yeah? That's materialistic pursuits. Sorry? Yeah, well-intentioned ignorance. Yeah. Well-intentioned ignorance. So that's what's going on because they don't know. Prabhupada says a very powerful statement about materialistic leaders. This is very, very interesting. He says, when such atheists become leaders of society, the entire atmosphere is surcharged with nescience. Isn't that interesting? Because what leaders do, others follow. So when the leader himself or herself is blind, they amplify their nescience into the material atmosphere. So in one sense, we don't really have leaders in this modern world. We simply have misleaders. And Prabhupada would often say it's like the blind leading the blind. So you have one blind person who's walking off a cliff, enthusiastically walking off a cliff, and boasting about how wonderful his direction is, and encouraging everyone else to come with him to walk off the same cliff. It's very, very serious. But the opposite is also true. When you have spiritually powerful people, when you have spiritually realized personalities, their presence and their teachings and their guidance, it's extremely auspicious. Why? Think about this. Following on this analogy of a blind person, you see, you can get the benefit of another person's consciousness, right? So you have a person who's blind. That's not such a critical factor if the blind person is prepared to follow the instructions of someone who can see. Right? Individual A is blind, but they do not act according to their blindness. They're acting according to the directions of individual B, who can see perfectly what's meant to be done. That is how a blind person can get the full benefit of someone else's perception. That's extremely powerful. That means that a pure devotee, his very instruction can actually overcome the disqualifications of other people on the one condition that those people will follow what he says. Huh? Isn't that interesting? You can get the benefit of someone else's consciousness through following their instruction. Otherwise, your destiny is based upon your own mentality. And let's look at it honestly. Do you want the destiny based upon your mentality, or do you want the destiny of Srila Prabhupada's mentality? Do you want the destiny of Srila Rupa Goswami's mentality? What their consciousness is aligned to, that's what you get by following their instructions. Hence we have Upadeshamrita. The nectar of instruction. Interesting. Because if you follow their instruction, you will taste the nectar. Let's move on to see a few other points. Prabhupada says, this Krishna consciousness movement is to create an atmosphere where people can chant. He says, one has to begin with faith, and when that faith is increased by chanting, then one comes to Krishna consciousness. There's a quote, which I feel is really interesting. Prabhupada says, we are sending Sankirtan parties all over the world, and they are experiencing that even in the remotest part of the world, where there is no knowledge of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attracts thousands of men to our camp. Sometimes people wonder, okay, if Krishna is fair, why is it that some people are born in a situation where they don't hear about Krishna? So there's an answer to that. Savasichaham Ridishanivishto Mata Smriti Gyanam Apohanam Cha Vedestra Slave Aham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Vedavit Eva Chaham. Krishna explains to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that from him comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. If an individual wants to forget Krishna, if they want to be away from Krishna, he can also facilitate for that individual to take birth in a place in the world where they will not have to hear about him. Of course, what he doesn't tell them is that his devotees have free will. And his devotees can freely go to people who've taken birth somewhere where they don't want to hear about Krishna and remind them about Krishna, because they've got free will. Right? So that's a small print. You know, okay, you didn't want to know about me, so you took birth there. But guess what? By the way, my devotee wanted you to know about me, so he came and found you anyway. Right? Hence, you have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is also why there are different religions. Because if someone wants to know God 50%, Krishna in the heart understands that he will allow them by facilitating them with a religion that will give them that degree of understanding of God. Someone wants to know Krishna 80, 90%, he'll facilitate it in that way. They'll come to some process which will give them that level of understanding of God. And if someone wants to know Krishna in full, if someone wants to experience, as Rupa Goswami said, this transcendentally sweet nature, Madhuram. Krishna is sweet. Everything about them is sweet. Then one has to be ready to give themselves in full, and thus they come to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna consciousness in one sense is not a religion. It is, the term that's used is theomorphic. It means it's the eternal nature of the soul. Or Sanatana Dharma. The eternal function of the soul. And our culture is the culture of the spiritual world. It's not that you try something religious here, then you go back to God and do something different. No. What we're practicing here, what we're preparing for here, is the eternal culture of love and romance. The eternal culture of love and reciprocation, not just with Krishna, but with all of Krishna's associates in that spiritual world, on that spiritual platform. This is the entire purpose of this ISKCON movement. Prabhupada said this ISKCON movement is a cultural movement for the re-spiritualization of the entire world society. Because every single problem, every single material problem is ultimately only going to be solved with spiritual solutions. So it's not just a benefit on a spiritual level. Krishna consciousness is the root solution to all of society's problems, both material and spiritual. Now, what that also means is that as devotees, we should be expert enough to take full shelter of the teachings, to utilize the teachings fully. And when you utilize the teachings fully, you will see something amazing. You'll see just how powerful Prabhupada's statements are, how much it works. And when you do something that works, and you perceive that it works, it gives you faith. Right? When you apply Krishna consciousness and you see it works, you think, my God, this is absolutely amazing. Shastri ki shraddha. Faith in Shastra. It gives virya, drive, and smriti, remembrance. The Goswamis say this. That drive is this huge confidence and determination in devotional life. So as Maharaj was saying, if you want to be determined, you can have this determination by hearing and chanting. Prabhupada says specifically here, he says, let me read this point. He says basically, I'll just paraphrase, that first there must be some faith, a dol shraddha. And he says that faith is strengthened and increased by chanting. Because our chanting is our association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is pure. So when you associate with that which is pure, you also become pure. When you associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all knowledge, that association is the most powerful way to destroy what? What is the opposite of knowledge? Ignorance. So when you associate with the Supreme Source of all knowledge, that is the most powerful way to destroy completely ignorance. Completely destroying ignorance. In this purport, it speaks about the different stages. So beginning with Shraddha, from Shraddha, as one's faith increases, one comes to what stage? It is called? Sadhu Sangha. When your faith increases even more, you come to? Bhajana Kriya. When the faith increases even more, you come to? Anatta Nivritti. When faith increases even more, you come to? Nishtha. Faith increases even more, it comes to? Ruchi. Faith increases even more, you come to? Asakti. Faith increases more, you come to? And when your faith is complete, what is that called? Wonderful. So as Maharaj has wonderfully pointed out, this point that I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he makes me broken hearted by not appearing before me. He's completely free. Isn't that interesting? Prabhupada writes in one place, I think it's in Srimad Bhagavatam, that there is actually some type of practice whereby you can oblige Krishna to appear. He actually writes that. But we don't care for that. His point is that we don't care for that. Our point is to serve. Right? It's not that Lord, you have to do something for me, you have to appear before me. Our point is to actually serve. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would say, don't try to see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna would like to actually see you. Napariham. When Krishna is speaking to the gopis, he's actually explaining that their service is of such an exalted quality, there's nothing he can give them. That means there's nothing higher than the principle of service. And in the healthy state, there's nothing more relishable, nothing more natural, and nothing more nourishing to the soul, to the heart, nothing more fulfilling than wholeheartedly engaging in service. Like this verse is speaking about everything related to Krishna. And Krishna himself says, Machita Matkata Pranabodhyanta Parasparam Kathayantascha Mamnityam Tusyanticha Ramanticha. He says, my devotees are experiencing great bliss and satisfaction from enlivening one another about him. Isn't that interesting? Enlivening. That means that the life is from the glorification and the engaging in service, sincere service, pure service, unmixed service, anyabilasita, anyabilasita shunyam gana kamadhyam navritam. That service which is done for Krishna's pleasure, free of any kind of tinge of karma or gyan. That is the life of the living entity. And it can all be achieved by this process of chanting and hearing about Krishna. Maharaj made a wonderful point yesterday. Even though we have also tattva and we need tattva, we don't reject tattva, we also want to hear about Krishna's pastimes. We want to hear about the Lord. How Krishna is so kind that he acts as a charioteer for his own devotee. The Supreme Personality of God, Arjuna tells him, Krishna, go between the armies so I can see who's on the opposing side. Right? And Krishna enthusiastically does it. So the Lord is Bhakta Vatsal. He is the servant of his own devotees. And he displays this. He comes as Lord Chaitanya because he understands something that Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that Krishna's devotees feel pleasure hundreds of thousands of millions of times more than the Lord himself. Isn't that interesting? The devotees enjoy more than Krishna enjoys. Right? For the devotee, Krishna is in the center. But for Krishna, he does not see himself in the center. For Krishna, his devotees are in the center. Therefore, he comes as Lord Chaitanya. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam. He comes in the mood and in the lust of Srimati Radharani. Because he understands that she is relishing more than I am. There is a book called The Embankment of Separation by Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He explains in that book that when Lord Nrisimhadev came, I think it was after he killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj was sitting on his lap. And they were both experiencing Vatsalya Prema, right? Love of God in the parental ras. But Lord Nrisimhadev realized that of the two, between he and Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj was experiencing more ecstasy than he was. So every incarnation of God who came after Nrisimhadev always has parents. So you can experience that relish and that relationship. Gaur Govinda Maharaj writes that. So it's so interesting. This is the funny thing. We are trying to be the master. Krishna himself is coming as who? As a servant. So what does that tell us? He's coming. He wants to relish what it means to serve Krishna. He wants to relish more by being the servant of Krishna than by taking the position of Krishna himself. As is pointed out, because he knows that everything related to Krishna is unlimitedly sweet. Try to understand this play. What we're dealing with, therefore, in Krishna consciousness is an ecstasy, a lifestyle, a fulfillment that is outside of the realms of anything we can think of. We can't actually imagine it. But the keys are here as to how to experience the unimaginable. And if we keep hearing this, and we keep remembering this, we will keep going. These words of the Goswamis are the fuels for our inspiration and our aspiration to attain pure devotional service for Krishna, pure love for Krishna. The inspiration and the aspiration. In Nectar of Devotion, it talks about shadow ecstasy. How sometimes in the presence of very exalted personalities, one can feel some of the flows of ecstasy spilling over from their own consciousness. And even that is extremely powerful. Just think about it. If there is such a thing as shadow ecstasy, where someone is experiencing some of the overflow of a devotee's own ecstasy, then what is it that this pure devotee is experiencing? We are Ananda Maya. We are pleasure seeking by nature. Yes, Ananda Maya Vyasat. So if we don't go deeper into our Krishna consciousness, if we don't endeavor to become healthy, then we are allowing the disease to increase. So we have to consider, what can I do to take more shelter of Krishna consciousness? What can I do to go more deeply into this ocean of transcendental life? That's the next week. Marge will pick that up. Marge has realization on that. Yes, if definitely spills over. But these are the things we need to ask ourselves. We should think that although I'm qualified, I cannot live another day without coming closer to Krishna. And we can pray like that. Dear Lord, dear Srila Prabhupada, what must I do to come closer to Krishna? What must I increase? What must I give up to come closer to Krishna? And as I think Andrew would say, when we chant, we should cry. We should actually feel that sense. And he said, if you can't cry, you should cry that you can't cry. It's interesting. I was discussing with one devotee in South Africa. He had a very nice realization. He said that when you chant with attention, Krishna notices. He's present. He says, if you chant with feeling, Krishna really notices. We have to understand, and if we have this proper understanding, then we will understand how difficult our situation is, how unfortunate our situation is. Because we don't know how bad it is, we're not too bothered. But if we really understood how dangerous and how unfortunate our situation is, tears would naturally come. We would cry. Prabhupada, it's hard to conceive. You have a pure devotee who's always in touch with Krishna. Even if he looks at the most materially opulent and seemingly well-situated material person, it would bring tears. Because even the best situation is nothing compared to the natural state of the soul. And so especially when Prabhupada would see old people playing golf, he was absolutely taken aback. That these people who should be preparing themselves to go back to an eternal life of ecstasy, and even the ecstasy in one sense is secondary. The main thing is to serve Krishna. Right? People who should be going back to that, they're wasting their time hitting a small sphere into a hole. It's not good. So we are in a dangerous situation, a fallen situation. We do want to practice Krishna consciousness with feeling. Not artificially, but if we read and study and we think about what's going on, then we'll think, oh my God, I'm in trouble. And at the same time, if we're able to perform our devotional service with sincere feeling, with sincere feeling and with a real desire to know Krishna, to call Krishna, to understand Krishna, then it will be a heartfelt spiritual life. There was one quote a friend sent me. I'll see if I can actually access it on my phone, because I thought it was really interesting and I wanted to share this with you. This is an interesting statement. And this is Shiva speaking to Sati, okay? Related to the pastime about Sati's father, Daksha. Shiva says, "Your father does have many remarkable qualities, but this is a problem for him, not a virtue. Learning, discipline, wealth, beauty, power, and heritage. These six good qualities have negative effects when they appear in people whose hearts are not good." Right? "In such people, these good qualities only increase pride. And pride makes one blind and forgetful of the greatness of others." So when we talk about this Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, even the qualities are servants of the state of consciousness, of the state of heart. Bhava Grahi Janadana. Krishna accepts the essence of a devotee's service. So the activity of Krishna consciousness is a heartfelt, intimate activity. And you can meditate like that. Everything you can do, you can have that meditation. I want to do this nicely to please Guru, to please Srila Prabhupada, to please Krishna. We can hear about Krishna, read about Krishna, and to become very familiar with this person. What does Krishna, how does he like to dress? Who are his friends? Like Maharaj was speaking about the Priyanamasaka Gopas. Is that correct? Yes. I mean, it was so interesting, isn't it? That there is this entire spiritual world and an entire spiritual community of Krishna. They have their own relationships. Krishna has his way of speaking to Mother Yashoda, his father. They relate in a certain way. He's a person. He's a distinct individual. He likes to dress a certain way. He likes to speak a certain way. He's got a sense of humor. Who is this Supreme Personality of Godhead? And in Krishna book, Prabhupada is explaining so much about Krishna as an intimate person. A person. And we want to know this person. Because as we understand more about Krishna and his loving exchanges with his devotees, you know what? It also removes our obstacles towards being caring and kind and supportive to one another as Vaishnavas. Time? Okay. Okay, no problem. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much, Maharaj. And we'll take some questions from the previous session and also from this session. And we should stop at 1 o'clock at what time? Is that okay? Okay, no problem. No problem at all. Thank you much. Any questions, comments, corrections, please? Hare Krishna.
Okay. How can we find the right balance between chanting and service? I'm always glad that Chandan Mohini Maharaj is here, because Maharaj has much more realization. Maharaj, if you please. Okay, since he's given it back. How can we find the right balance between chanting and service? Okay, well, first of all, I'll beg that Maharaj correct me, because whatever I say will would be as. Maharaj will have much more realization, because whenever. I was saying to Maharaj earlier, when he answers, it's so clear, you know, and much, it's very profound. Okay, but the little I can share. Okay, first and foremost, we should at least meet our prescribed number, like that, you know? Prabhupada, in some places, he said that our only business is to sit down and chant all day, but we cannot do it. Therefore, I'm engaging you in so many other services, you know, like that, you know? Huh? That's the next verse as well, so we're preempting. But the point is that at least the prescribed, like that, if one has, opportunity to chant more, the more you chant, the more you develop your namaruchi, your taste for chanting, that's always good. And then also under guidance, we can see whatever else needs to be done in the association of devotees, and we can do that. It is a dynamic thing, and it's also a personal thing. Because we have to know your particular situation. Does that make some sense? But the main thing is that what we would say is ideally begin the day with the chanting. That sets you up for anything else. And then by that, anything else that's done, it will be done with better consciousness, better quality of consciousness. You know? But if you have facility, you can chant as much as, you know, chant your heart out. You know? Because that is the means for self-realization in this age. And there is no other way. Therefore, all the other things that we do, they're also accompanied by the chanting, in terms of the, you know, potent processes of devotional service, like that. Would you like to?
Adding to that is my class.
Okay, so Maharaj will go in. Maharaj will add to that in a very wonderful and elaborate way when he speaks. Yeah, it's on next. Thank you. And yes, oh, actually, was that? I think I saw Mataji earlier.
Thank you,
Pitaka, šta biva sa osobom koja se istakne u društvu na predmjeru?
Aha, so the question is, there is an example from Uddhava Maitreya, so the question is, if somebody is less advanced and he speaks in front of more advanced devotee, what happens to such a person?
Good question. Sorry, do you want to add something else? Was that? Oh, he's translating. Okay. Okay, so there is a Vaishnava etiquette. And we do want to follow that etiquette properly. In another place in the nature of instruction, Prabhupada specifically talks about seniors and juniors in terms of Vaishnavas. He says the junior should be eager to hear from the more advanced. And Prabhupada says that the more advanced devotees should be merciful to the juniors. There is a misconception in modern society that it's better to be on the top. Or the senior person. Actually, one gains more by being in the receptive position. And therefore, whenever there is the presence of a senior, the first principle is that the mentality and the attitude should be that we want to hear from those more advanced than us.
The attitude should never be that we don't even want to demonstrate our learning in the presence of our seniors. If a senior requests us to do something, then we do that in order as a service to our seniors. In a humble state, and understanding that it's actually their mercy for our own purification that this is happening. To try to demonstrate our learning before our seniors, it demonstrates the wrong attitude, pride, and therefore these will be impediments to our devotional progress. Okay, 5-2. So, I think Sri Devi had a question.
This is relating to the previous verse about overlooking material defects.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand that because ultimately we have to come to the realization of the body. But how can one overlook or even try to ameliorate the situation where you have very, very senior devotees who have been around for 25, 30 years, and mm-hmm. their behavior leaves much to be desired?
Okay. So where you have people who are senior, but their behavior leaves much to be desired? Yeah, that's a good answer. You sure you don't want to? Okay. So, Prince Maharaj wants me to answer. Yes, there should be a mood of humility. I'll give you one angle on this. And this is often something that we don't consider when we are in situations that we find a bit challenging. There's a statement by Prabhupada, which it has to be taken in proper context, and we have to still be wise and intelligent in our dealings with devotees. But at least on one occasion, Prabhupada spoke about not being upset with the instrument of one's karma. Prabhupada spoke about not blaming the instrument of one's karma. Every situation that we are dealing with has a certain context. Because our modern material society is so myopic or narrow-minded, everything is looked at just in the instant. But the devotee understands that there's a greater picture, there's a bigger picture. And also a devotee understands that Krishna is ultimately, if we're trying to follow him sincerely, whatever happens, we can learn and grow in some way, shape or form from that experience. So there's a story of a king who had an advisor. And one day the king was given a sword, a gift of a very opulent sword, made of very fine materials and, you know, very valuable jewels. And one day the king was cleaning the sword. And while he was cleaning the sword, he cut his finger. Now, if you've ever cut your finger before, it's quite painful, isn't it? And then also messy. Right? So the king was in a lot of pain, and so he called for his advisor. So this king's advisor was known to be quite wise. So the king said to his advisor, "I've cut my finger, what do you think of this?" And the advisor said, "My dear king, this is Krishna's mercy." And the king became furious. And he said, "You're saying this because it didn't happen to you. I'm in pain, I'm bleeding, and you impertinent, you foolish advisor, you're telling me it's Krishna's mercy." So the king calls for his guards. He said, guards, throw this foolish advisor of mine in prison. So the guards grabbed the advisor and threw him in prison. So later that day, the king was going on his tour of the kingdom. And as part of his tour, he was going through the forest. Now there were some cannibals in the forest. When they saw the king, they thought, prasadam. So they captured the king, and they gave the king to their priest, who was preparing the king for a human sacrifice, to make the king a human sacrifice. Midway through the ritual, the priest said, stop the ceremony. And the priest said, let the king go. So the cannibals, they didn't understand why, and they demanded to know why they should release the king. And the priest said, we can't use him in this sacrifice because he's an imperfect specimen. He's incomplete. Part of his finger's missing. So they had to let the king go. And the king returned to his palace, realizing the wisdom of his advisor that this was Krishna's mercy on him. So he told the guards, please bring my advisor out of the prison and bring him before me. So when the advisor came back, the king apologized and said, I'm very sorry. When I cut myself, you told me this was Krishna's mercy. I became angry. I threw you in prison. But I saw later on that you were correct. Had I not cut my finger, I would have been killed. I would have been sacrificed. And the king said, so therefore, I understand that cutting my finger was Krishna's mercy. And the king said, but I do have one question, my dear advisor. He said, when I cut my finger and you said it was Krishna's mercy, I can see how it was Krishna's mercy upon me. But when you said it, I became angry with you and I had you thrown in prison. So I can understand how it was Krishna's mercy upon me, but what I can't understand is how it was Krishna's mercy on you. So the advisor said, my dear king, normally when you go on a tour of the kingdom, I normally come with you. So what would have happened is, had you not had me thrown in prison, they would have let you go and sacrifice me instead. So actually, you cutting your finger was Krishna's mercy upon you. And you having me thrown in prison was Krishna's mercy upon me. So the point is that when we have different challenges or difficulties or we see things in life, we should look at it from the point of view of how we can learn from this, how we can grow from this experience. This International Society for Krishna Consciousness is perfect in the sense that it is a perfect facility for every sincere person to return back home back to Godhead. But perfect means that it won't necessarily be everything you expect it to be, but it will be perfectly whatever Krishna knows you need in order to progress if you take it in the correct way according to Guru Sadhu Shastra. Because there's absolutely no external situation that can stop you surrendering to Krishna if you so choose. Okay, so I think we'll have to stop there because we're slightly over. Shri Upade Shamrita ki chai, Shri Prabhupada ki chai, Shri Rupa Goswami ki chai, Janitai Gaur Pramanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Prabhupada ki jai.